use all the receivers, tight ends, backs. You know, they've lost a couple of their productive players in the passing game, the running back, the tight end, but they still got a lot of production out of everybody. And you know, defensively, it's a real athletic group. Up front, guys are big, fast, can rush the passer, play to run, good in pursuit. Linebackers are active. The safeties are good. Of course, Robinson is an outstanding player. You know, good in the return game with you know, Jones and you know, they're solid specialists, solid in the kicking game. You know, good kicker, good punter, good returner. So, you know, real solid football team. Played well recently, you know, very good against, you know, a couple quality teams too, like Indianapolis. I know they lost those games, but they really played very competitively in both those games. So, you know, it's a good football team. Good mix of young players and veterans in there. They got some young guys that are playing and contributing, you know, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. Barwin, you know, Cushing, Quinn, McCain, all those guys have, you know, play regularly for them on defense and contribute. So they've added some good young players on that side of the ball.
So what kind of a challenge will this be for your secondary this week with, I think, the NFL's leading passer and receiver, protection pass?
Well, it'll be a big challenge. As I said, they spread the ball around quite a bit, but certainly, you know, Andre Johnson gets his share, and he's pretty good at everything. He's good on the deep balls. He's a big target. Tough after the catch. He's, again, kind of like Terrell Owens, where he catches short balls and breaks tackles and runs a long way, or, you know, people get up there and try to play him tighter. He runs past them, and he's good on intermediate routes, he's good on deep routes, and he's good on the short routes and running with the ball after the catch. And he's a good blocker, so he certainly attracts a lot of attention, you know, as he should.
When you guys are trying to stop big physical receivers like Tio, you know, had 20 yards catching in the last game, what works against those guys? What have you guys done well against some of these marquee receivers?
Well, you know,
best thing is to try to keep the quarterback from getting the ball off, but, you know, along with the pass rush, you just got to decide how you want to, you know, the more guys you rush, the fewer guys you got to cover. The more guys you cover, then, generally speaking, the more time the quarterback has to throw the ball. So, you know, you have to kind of balance that off. But, like I said, you watch the Seattle game, that's about as impressive as it gets, you know, in the first half. He's good at everything. And then whoever's got him and, you know, whatever help we have with him, you know, they're just going to have to hold up on that play because you can't, you know, as much as you want to get on him, there's a lot of other weapons and a lot of other guys that Shaw throws the ball to. So you got to defend all of them, but he's definitely a problem.
So when you saw Matt Schaub come in for Michael Vick a few years ago against the Falcons, he had a big day. You guys didn't have an opportunity to really prepare for him. How different is his game now? How much has he matured and improved?
Well, we prepared for him. We just, you know, hadn't seen a lot of film on him, but what we had seen, you know, was pretty good. And, of course, you know, he played very well against us. So, you know, I mean, he's, you know, more experienced than he was then, of course, but he's, you know, can move around, got some athleticism, but he's primarily a pocket guy. I mean, they don't run him out of there a lot. He's got a good touch, can make all the throws, nice arm. Reads coverage as well. That's why he spreads the ball around to a lot of different receivers, and he's accurate.
So, is it a balance this week at that second outside corner spot? I mean, you've always had Lee Bodden generally start, but at that other outside spot, sometimes it's been Spring, sometimes it's been Will Height. When you're facing a guy like Andre Johnson, is it a tough balance to decide between experience? Okay, you got a guy like Sean who's more experienced, but then you got a guy like Will Height who might be younger and quicker. Is that balance difficult to weigh?
Well, it's something we deal with every week. You know, we have the players that we have available against the team that we're playing and the, you know, the people that we have to play against and how to best match those up with our individually from a player standpoint, but also from a scheme standpoint, what we're going to ask our players to do, balance and all that together. That's how we end up deciding on whatever we decide to do. So it'll be the same this week.
So how much does this look like the Denver offense with Shanahan that you guys faced so many times?
It's got a lot of similarities, certainly in the running game, the passing game. I'd say that's the basis of it, but I think they've expanded the passing game from what it was in Denver, you know, where Shaw's more of a drop-back passer, and they still run a lot of play action, but as they get to their multiple receiver personnel and even some of their two tight end and one back personnel, which is kind of like a multiple receiver grouping for them, you know, the passing game is a little less play action and a little more drop back, but it definitely has a lot of elements of the Denver offense.
I know Slade's been kind of, you know, hasn't had quite the year that he did last year, but does he look like one of those Denver backs, you know, whether, you know, I guess some of them had similar characteristics, whether it was Davis or Portis or Anderson or whatever.
Bert, who are you talking about?
Slade.
Right, he's on injured reserve.
Oh, yeah, okay. My fault.
Yeah, they've lost, you know, they've lost a couple of, you know, key players there. Of course, Owen Daniels and Slayton, you know, Pitts, the offensive lineman. So they've lost, you know, three or four of their key players on offense, but that really hasn't stopped them from putting up, you know, a lot of big numbers. And the other tight ends and the other backs, you know, have stepped in there. You know, and done a good job dressing, and, you know, of course, the rookie Casey and, you know, Brown, Moats, you know, Foster, you know, they've worked all those backs in there, and they've all been productive. So, they've certainly lost some good football players from, you know, where they were at the beginning of the year when we saw them against the Jets, you know, on opening day, getting ready for New York there the second week, but, you know, the guys that have stepped in have done a good job. They've been real productive.
Bill, we'll
give you a pass on that question. No, you give me a pass on one here that I screw up.
I appreciate that, Bill.
Bill, I'm not sure you've been asked about this yet. Was Butler's being inactive for Sunday injury, like, did something happen injury related, or was he just a regular old healthy scratch?
No, it wasn't injury related. It wasn't on the injury report.
Right. No, just didn't know if something happened late. Okay.
Bill, with obviously you guys are in the playoffs, and so you have to prepare for, you know, 12 days out or whatever it is at this point. How do you go about trying to scout would-be opponents that would emerge in that first round? Because there's such a range of them. How do you go about scouting them this weekend?
Well, of all the possibilities, you know, we've played all the teams, including Houston now. We basically played all the teams that are, have some, you know, some that we have some chance of playing next week other than, the Steelers. So everybody else we have some familiarity with. And we'll have to just, you know, use our personnel department to, you know, scout those games like we usually do. And we'll wait and see what happens on Sunday. But, you know, right now we're, you know, focused on the Houston game and we've done work on, like I said, we've done work on all those teams. And, you know, we have to update some things and then we'll wait and see what happens.
And just one more logistical question. I know it's far out and you don't want to get too far into it, but will you send a scout to each of those different games to get, you know, live eyes on those games, or will you probably do it a different way?
Right. Well, again, you know, you know all the teams as well as I do, which ones are in there, and, you know, we could just play Jacksonville on Sunday, so, you know, I don't know if we need to, you know, go to the Jacksonville game. I mean, there's some teams that we played, you know, a week, playing Houston this week, that's one of the other teams. So there's teams in there that we've dealt with pretty recently, and then there's other teams that are possibilities that we played much earlier in the year, and then, as I said, there's one team that's a possibility that we haven't played at all, and that's Pittsburgh. So we'll, you know, use our resources the best we can, and, you know, like I said, try to try to do a little bit of preparation work here at the end of the week, as we normally do for the following week, not with our whole staff, but with the people that are kind of responsible for getting those that information in order so that we can look at it once this game passes and we move on to the next game, and then we'll see how things unfold. And if whatever team we need to do, whatever the team is, whoever we play, if we need to do more work on them, then we'll break down some films and do that work and move it along.
Thank you.
Hey, Bill, I know we got you pretty good on this yesterday, but I'm wondering if you've had any time to, or more time to kind of consider or think about the idea of resting starters, and if you've made any conclusions on that, or at least put any more thought into that.
No, that's not really something that we've done, or in all honesty, I wouldn't even anticipate doing it. You know, having that discussion right now. I mean, what's going to happen now is we're going to go through the game plan. Players are going to come in tomorrow, and everybody's going to get ready to play. And that's how we're going to approach it. So, and whoever plays, plays. Whoever doesn't play, doesn't play. But it's like that every week. I mean, we could go out there in the first play of the game, something could happen, and somebody else could be in there. So, you know, everybody needs to be ready to go all the time.
We'll take a final question, Coach.
Yeah, Bill, is it how unique an athlete is Mario Williams, and what makes him difficult to deal with from a protection standpoint?
He's a real good athlete. He's one of those guys like Julius Peppers, you know, that's big and fast. And when I say big, I mean like whatever he is, 290, 295. I mean, he's like Peppers. I mean, you know, this guy's no 260 guy. So he's big, he's fast, he's powerful. They use him in coverage quite a bit, kind of like Carolina did in their blitz zone packages. And it's kind of unique because they're defensive ends, but when they go to blitz zones and things like that, they really play more like outside linebackers. But they're big outside linebackers. They're not the 250, 260 breed of guy. They're tall, they're long, and so they give the defense an element of a defensive lineman that's really can be a linebacker, and you know, you got to treat him as a lineman, but in doing that, then when they bring the linebackers instead of him, then you end up, you know, losing a blocker on him, and he drops into coverage and all that. But when he does rush, I mean, he's got good speed, he can work the edge, he's got good power, he's got quickness and can counter move, real long arms. Long arms, long legs. He's a long guy that, makes it hard for the offensive linemen to get their hands on him because he can hold them off and tough for the quarterback to throw around. He bats some balls down because of his length and his athleticism, timing, his ability to get in the throwing lane. Very good in pursuit. He runs guys down from the backside and can play at the point of attack with his strength and his power. So he's very unique player in that sense, and I think the thing that really makes him, as I said, with Peppers, makes him a little bit out of the traditional mold is just the size. You know, we see defensive ends, the John Abrams and guys like that that play defensive end and drop into coverage that are 255, 260, 265. You know, these guys are. You know, they're legitimate defensive linemen that are athletic like linebackers, and that's pretty unique.
I had just one more thing on him. His sack number's down a little bit this year. Is that a product? You think that that's more of a product of the attention that he's drawing, as far as the way guys are blocking him, or maybe the dropping into coverage a little bit more like you were talking about?
You know, we haven't played him in a couple of years, so I don't know how much, and that was with a different system there, so. I don't know how much he's doing this year. Is that different from last year and the year before, scheme-wise? But he certainly gets a lot of chances to rush, and he causes some problems. I think overall their front is active, with Smith and Cody, Akoya, Connor Barwin's done a good job for them. They're all pretty active, and they bring their linebackers too. You know, Cushing's had a good year, and Ryan's, and so they mix it up. You can't always count on the same guys or the same group of guys. But he's, you know, he moves around. He plays on the strong side. He plays on the weak side. You know, he's a guy you got to be aware of, and he certainly makes his share of plays. You know, like any defensive lineman, I mean, none of them make every play, but, you know, he makes his share, and you certainly have to account for him.
All right, thanks, everyone. Thank you, Coach.
All righty. Thanks.